Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
When you hear that bomb blast, get a shot glass. Listen to the podcast, it's all up in your mom's ass. Big J kills them like O.J. Simpson. A quick, if the fingerless glove don't fit, get break quick by that big dick Dave Smith. He all up in your ribs while he talking politics. Or get bit when you rattle by that Puerto Rican snake. And natural born killers, legion of skanks.
Welcome to the Clash!
What's up, everybody? It is the Legion of Skanks podcast coming to you for the Friday night hang on Zoom. What's up, everybody? I'm Big J Okerson. Of course, we got all the skanks here. Davey Smith. And, of course, the Puerto Rican rattlesnake, Luis J. Gomez. Nuts deep.
What's up, doggies? Dab.
What's up, buddy?
I'm chilling.
I am back in my dab era, deep and hard.
We're getting ready to do Skankfest. You're not going to drink, right?
No, I'm not drinking at Skankfest. My rule is that I will not drink while I'm working. That's a great rule, and not at home.
Wait, I thought you just weren't drinking, period.
No, it's not that I'm not drinking, period. If I my rule is that if I go on vacation, I will drink.
All right.
On vacation?
I feel like that's a good, you know, it's a good rule of thumb.
Sure.
The drinking at home is the one that really gets you. And then I guess working is a problem too, because we just work too much around booze.
Yeah, I work around a lot of booze, especially after I perform. Get it?
Booze. on the road, it's weird. I said I don't drink. Like I said, it's not a ton of alcohol, and I'm not getting drunk. But like, I'm taking in alcohol at least 4 days a week.
Yeah, I mean it's not good. It's definitely. Yeah,
no.
I mean, whatever. I don't want to get. I genuinely don't want to get preachy. I don't judge anybody that drinks. I don't even think that I should be patted on the back.
Drinking the devil's juice,
but I shouldn't even be patted on the back for not drinking. It's just not. It's not hard. It's not hard for me to not drink.
Well, right. If it's something, it's not a difficult quit. Yeah, it's not really. It's not that commendable. Yeah, when they're like, I think before my special, Ari was like, "Don't drink for 2 weeks." I'm like, okay. Like, it doesn't really, booze is not my vice. That's what it is. I wish I could just go, dude, I could stop smoking cigarettes and whatever. Like, I wish.
Well, it's such a different addiction though. No, obviously stop not drinking. I guess not for everybody, but in general, unless you really got a problem with booze, it's not like that hard to stop drinking. Quitting smoking is a fucking bitch, but there is something about if you get used to just having, which is this is what I did. I've cut back a lot on it now, but I just got used to having, like, I got my bar in my house. I'd start having a whiskey every night. And then that very quickly turned into just having three whiskeys every night. And then you're just having three whiskeys every night. And it's just so many unnecessary, like, fucking just like, it's just calories and making you feel sluggish and slowing down. And then since I've cut down, I do feel a lot better. So I am trying to be preachy, and I deserve a pat on the back.
Good job, I just don't want to get on stage. It's just better when I'm not drunk on stage as well. Like, I kind of like slur and sputter through my act. Like, oh, my late shows are always a little bit sloppy.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You definitely shouldn't perform drunk.
Yeah. Well, I was.
That's going to get you into some kind of like weird. See, the Jim Morrison. You're all a bunch of fucking slaves. I'm going to get my kicks in before the whole shit house goes up in flames.
I mean, I think a lot of people drink a lot on stage. You know, for years I would fucking have a couple whiskeys. Late show, you're feeling a little good. You're feeling good at the beginning of the late show. Halfway through, though, you're like, what? Did I do that joke already?
Oh, my thing would be like almost, I feel like fatigue setting in if I drank too much for the late show. Do you know what I mean? Where I'm just like, don't want to do it.
When I used to open for you a lot, Jay, I used to just drink as much as I could. I mean, it was literally just like, it was like, I don't know, there's free alcohol here, so obviously you drink as much as you can before you leave. But man, featuring is such a sweet gig. It never hits you with featuring, you know what? No. I mean, like, you could be drinking and it's like, oh, that late show starts, you're up in 10 minutes and you just got to do a half hour. But when you got to wait till the end of the show and do an hour, by the end of that hour, if you've been drinking all night on the late show, you're like, you're definitely not at your A game.
Sure. I definitely drank too much and gone on stage before. Like, it's happened in my life, but they're like one-off situations ever. And yeah, I can't recall it ever being like, hey, you know what? That was actually awesome. I've been where I feel like I'm too stoned and gone on stage, and something about the adrenaline of stage meeting that like kind of makes for fine. That doesn't really cause a problem for me, but like, I guess booze. Yeah. Like once or twice only, man, really. But like, there's been a time where I've been on stage and I've been like, well, almost like where I'm sitting on the stool, and if the stool's like shaky, like I was like, whoa, am I going to fall? Like, what the fuck?
Yeah. I mean, I think all of the Shiprock cruises, I was borderline blackout drunk by the time we got on stage at midnight. Like, I was drinking from like 11 a.m. on a boat with like fucking just, I don't even remember getting on stage. I just remember being like particularly drunk during those shows. And then I remember one time, like, I was in Soul Joel's while I was outside, and then a fan came up and was like, yeah, dude. And he handed me like a bottle of whiskey, and I was like, all right, dude. Then I started chugging the whiskey, and I chugged maybe three or four shots at the most. But it fucking, dude, it leveled me. Like, I could barely get through the set. I couldn't drive home. I started puking. It was fucking nuts.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah, just a couple, whatever it is. I don't know. Just, I don't drink whiskey that fast. I always sip on it. I don't shoot ever. Yeah, but that's
exclusively shoot.
I know you do. You like to shoot three shots of fucking tequila.
Chilled silver.
And then a fucking White Claw.
But Jay, I know we've talked about this before, but at a certain point, like as a man in your 40s, you settled into a drink that's your drink that you still hate.
Yeah.
Maybe it's not your drink.
Yeah, but none of them taste good.
But it can't be.
But you haven't tried every drink, Jay. Maybe that's the issue, is you haven't tried every drink.
Try gin, whiskey, scotch, vodka. I mean, all
if you
them,
don't if you don't like if you don't like whiskey, you're not gonna be you're not gonna like scotch right away.
Right no I listen, if it makes sense, I understand the like thing, like, man, for what booze makes you feel like in the perfect in like that sweet spot, I wish like whiskey was a thing I could just drink, sip whiskey and have that kind of a thing. It's not. You're right, my drink is a drink I loathe still. And I barely can tolerate White Claws and High Noons and shit. So it's such a funny thing to like, what I'm looking for is the buzz. I'm simply chasing the buzz.
Jay, have you thought about trying to take pills?
It's insane, yeah, because literally, as I'm saying, Lewis is like, yeah, I stopped drinking and I feel great. And I was like, yeah, I've cut way down and I feel great. And then, but there's something so infuriating to me about this that I'm like, Jay, just keep drinking whiskey until you start to like it. It's what we all had to do.
Yeah, nobody liked it at first. We were all 17 and we were like, ew. And we held our nose and we were like, I'd rather fucking anything than this. But eventually you just acquire the taste, and you still don't like it. It's not like if there was a candy that was whiskey flavored, I'd be like, candy. It's psychotic. But you do appreciate the, like a cigar doesn't taste good. But you appreciate a cigar, the smoke being in your mouth, like there's something about it that is appealing, for sure. Like a cigarette doesn't taste good, but you love the way a cigarette tastes.
I love it. Well, it tastes like nothing. I love the way it feels. But what you would call it, cigar, I never understand. Oh, it's another one I don't understand. Listen, I see myself swirling with one finger my fucking whiskey, my giant fucking, I want a big ball.
With one painted nail finger?
Yeah, one painted nail finger in there.
Jay, if you drink whiskey, I would get you one of those like giant ball makers in the shape of a skull. So every time you had an ice, it would be a skull ice, and you could... Oh.
These things are all very appealing to me, except the taste, smell, and flavor and feeling of whiskey.
The perfect gift for Big Jay, if he liked whiskey, would be a fucking ice cube maker in the shape of a giant.
Balls would make me happy. You make it a skull, I'm even more happy.
God, dude. I did type into ChatGPT. I said, ChatGPT, give me a drink Give me an alcoholic drink based off the personality of comedian Big J Okerson. For Big J Okerson inspired alcoholic drink, you'd want something bold, unpretentious, with a hint of sweetness. Ooh, reflecting his laid back personality and quick humor. Here's a recipe that captures those vibes. This is the Big J Bourbon Smash.
It turns out it's three shots of chilled tequila and a high noon.
That'd be great because he goes, dude, you've actually found it.
This is a strong yet approachable drink with a twist. This is 2 ounces of bourbon, bold, classic, that's strong yet smooth, like Jay's presence on stage. Oh, it's sucking your dick. It's pissing me off. 1 ounce of blackberry syrup for a touch of sweetness, reflecting his playful humor and big-hearted nature.
I think ChatGPT is trying to fuck.
Hell yeah, dude.
A half an ounce of lemon juice adds refreshing tart kick, symbolizing his sharp wit. Ginger beer to top it off, giving it a little spice and fizziness, much like Jay's lively storytelling and energy. And you garnish with a blackberry and a lemon slice. You serve it over rocks glasses. The cocktail is meant to be savored slowly, much like Big Jay's laid-back extended riffs.
By the way, all that said, I could drink a fucking pint glass of Fireball or Goldschlager, but that's fucking horrible to do and grotesque. Flavor wise, I could choke those down. It just tastes like cinnamon. Like, you don't taste the. Listen, it was my only time I blacked out drunk in my life, and the drunkest I've ever been of like five times in my life that I've been like, fuck that, that's bad drunk, was Fireball because it kept going down. I was like, I don't know how many shots I did of that, but I was like, it tastes like gum, dude. It's fine. Yeah, it
tastes like Big Red.
And then when I fucking stood up, I was like, that's crazy. And then I go, and then I blew a threesome I didn't know I was having.
Two guys, though.
But it was two guys.
but Jay blew both of them.
No, it's funny. Me and Christine walked off with a girl, and then I passed out. What's funny is I never even thought it. When I came to, the next thing I remember is Ralph and Christine, like, my arms over their shoulders. They helped me down a hallway. I'm like, wait, was there never another girl? Did Ralph just fuck Christine?
For Dave Smith, you'd want a drink that's sharp, sophisticated, and smooth, reflecting his thoughtful libertarian views and calm demeanor. Here's a drink inspired by his personality, the Smith and Liberty. Ooh. This is a refined classic cocktail with subtle complexity. 2 ounces of rye whiskey, bold and classic, representing Dave's sharp intellect and no-nonsense approach to comedy and politics. Fuck off, ChatGPT.
Hold on. Hear the ChatGPT out.
A half an ounce of dry vermouth for Dave's dry ass personality. Adding his sophistication, nodding to his
thoughtful. He goes, some wood flakes and
some fucking NyQuil. He threw a couple of those pills in there.
Some wood flakes, a Celsius. Ah,
come on, guys.
Melatonin, peanut butter. Banana for some potassium.
A quarter ounce of honey syrup, a touch of sweetness, showing his underlying warmth and humor. 2 dashes of Angostura bitters, a subtle but essential addition.
What? These are some gay ass drinks. I'm not drinking this shit. I do appreciate the compliments.
I do want to know what yours is, Lewis. But then, can you also go through this and ask what our smoothies would be? It's probably something I'll make more often. What's a smoothie based on my personality? It's gonna be a milkshake. Wait, goes, which I goes? Chocolate chip ice cream, lots of milk.
For Luis J. Gomez inspired drink,
Luis something. Is one pint of the date rate drug.
Yeah,
that's it. No additives.
GHB either. And a big glass of warm water.
It's just GHB.
GHB and any fluid of your choice.
For Luis J. Gomez inspired drink, you'd want something aggressive, full of energy, and a little wild, just like his comedic style. Here's a drink that captures his boldness and unpredictability. Ooh, I sound really fun.
I think they use the word boldness for all of us. You're getting lazy, ChatGPT.
We're bold, dude.
We're all bold.
Bold is beautiful.
I guess we're all pretty bold.
Yeah, the real ass kick, it's called. A strong, unapologetic drink with a fiery twist. Oh, Jay, this you're gonna love it. Jay, you would
Fireball.
Drink.
No. Fireball?
No, you would, Jay, this would be your drink.
Okay.
You would drink the real ass kick. In fact, dude, tonight I'm going to make them make you a real ass kick at the stand.
Okay. Maybe I love it.
It's 2 ounces of tequila, bold and intense, reflecting Lewis's fearless attitude and high energy comedy. Damn, they make me sound awesome. 1 ounce of mezcal for a smoky, complex layer that represents his raw, gritty humor and unapologetic honesty. Three quarter ounces of lime juice, sharp, tangy kick, symbolizing his quick wit and sharp comebacks. That's right, bitch. Half ounce of jalapeno syrup for some heat, embodying Lewis's confrontational yet playful spirit. And then you top it with Red Bull because Lewis never stops. This adds the burst of energy to match his relentless hustle. Garnished with a lime wheel and a chili pepper.
Is this a drink for Lewis, or is this a drink designed to turn you into Lewis?
Yeah, really. It's gonna burn my throat, give me gastrointestinal problems.
Let me try this just for 1 second.
You cocksucker.
Hey, doggy. Hey, you missed my turn.
Where's the jalapeno fucking syrup from? Can you see what our smoothies would be? A smoothie based on Big J's personality?
How about we do a smoothie based on the Legion of Skanks podcast?
Perfect.
There you go.
Give me a perfect smoothie. We're so retarded. Based.
Lewis, your picture right now is so bad. But this tech, if I can see you like this on a computer in 1997, I would have fucking lost my goddamn mind.
I'm sorry, guys. Do you want me to try to go back to the other?
No, dude, we're not shaming you.
It's absolutely fine. You are cutting edge for 1997.
Let me try. Hold on.
It's absolutely fine.
Is it better to have me choppy on a better screen?
No, not at all. Not at all.
No, it's
not a bad. It's also not a better screen. It looks bad.
Damn it. I don't know why, like, just waiting, like 4 years ago when this technology first came out, you'd be like, let me just wait a minute. It'll get a little better. That was a thing we would do back in the day. Like, just wait. Give it a minute. It'll catch up.
Reboot computer. By the way, it does happen. Sometimes closed captioning has to catch up. I've seen.
Yeah, but now that I'm on, here's what's happening. Now that I'm on this computer, everything, you guys are all choppy now. Like, whatever, that bringing this capture card into this computer is making my entire computer be like, whoa, we weren't ready for this.
Overload. Go back to your other one. The point I was making was simply that for even like how much like we take for granted how like smooth we all usually look in frame, that you're like, if this was in 1997, you'd be like, this is the future is now, man. The Jetsons are here.
Front camera. Here. Hi, guys.
Hey.
And now I look all sick. Look at my fucking sickly face.
You do.
Can you give me a perfect smoothie recipe based off of the Legion of Skanks podcast? This is literally what I do all day long now. You know, I gave up video games because it was a waste of time. Now I just have conversations with ChatGPT and I ask hypothetical like fights, like who would win, Wolverine or Godzilla.
Bobby Kelly said that you kind of showed him like AI stuff, and now he said when he's driving, he told me he had a 45-minute conversation with his AI.
Yeah. You can just talk to it like it's your friend.
But he said you can talk like it's your friend. He goes, hey, can I call you Frankie? He's like, I'd like that. He said something about like Dawn and Max.
Yeah. It remembers the conversations that you have previously. So like it'll just be like it just knows that James does jujitsu. So like James was talking to it the other day. I was like, all right, who would win in a fight? James or 12-year-old Luis J. Gomez. And then it gives you an entire analytical breakdown of how James would kick my ass because he does jujitsu.
Yeah.
You were a lot tougher than James at 12, but he might just wrap you up and choke you out.
That's it. I would like it. Like, I had been in plenty of fist fights by the time I was James's age. I had been like, you know, maybe like 8 to 10 fist fights in my neighborhood. I would get into fist fights all the time. Like, and I would just get jumped by these little racist white kids. And then my mom would like just beat my ass. Like my mom was like very violent in the way she did it too. It wasn't like she like spanked me. My mom would like fist fight me. You know what I'm saying? Like, you would just like cover up. So James is never just like,
are you saying, so if you were James, you could have tapped your mom?
Well, I mean, I would have definitely had a stronger guard than I had.
Butterfly guard.
No, I would. Well, my mom would come into the room. My mom would also use a belt. So what you would do is you would grab the blanket. I don't know if you guys ever got hit with a belt before.
No.
You'd grab the blanket and essentially you create like a post, like almost like a tent. So like your knuckles, knees, and feet are essentially like poking the blanket up. So it's like a lot of hollow area. So she's got to really whip you on like the hand or the knee in order to get you. But then she would grab the blanket.
Yeah, I figured she was going to rip that blanket.
She grabbed the blanket away eventually, but it's like you're just trying to. It's like if you ever get attacked with somebody with a knife, like if you ever watch a video of how to like defend yourself, they're like, there's no like not getting cut. They're like, you're going to get cut. It was like, it's about protecting your vital organs and doing it in a way where you can get away and live. Right. So that's all you were trying to do is you're trying to create enough space and just create enough moments that maybe you get away and survive.
Have you seen the video that says you won't? Yeah, I made a video that says you won't get cut if you do a fucking hurricane kick like no one sees coming.
I just like the idea of young Lewis making a video. Now I was like, now look, you're going to get hit with the belt. That's going to happen. But the goal here is to survive. Now you want to
belt is coming.
Now she's very drunk. She's going to tire out soon enough.
Yeah. Lewis, do I get cut if I kick the guy's knife out of his hand as my first move?
The thing is, you're probably not going to.
Man, you never have belief in me.
Dude, you're probably not going to.
Your Lewis. Spontaneous karate ability.
Me and Dave would do that all the time. One of our favorite games ever.
I know, yeah, Dave, in your apartment, yeah.
We would just grab like whatever. It could just be like, you know, a stick or like
a paper roll or something. Whatever.
Yeah, yeah. We're like, all right, like, pretend I have a knife.
we used to do knife and gun. We've done this.
Knife wins every time.
I can't explain to you. Me and Lewis spent maybe not a decade, but there were years where me and Lewis like fought every day, like literally every single day we wrestled, we grappled, and we would do these scenarios. I mean, we did this countless hundreds and hundreds of times, and knife wins every single time.
Guard, dude, attack me, pretend you have a knife.
We'd always be like, no, but dude, you got to really come at me. Like, you don't really know that I'm going to do this, and I'm just going to try to take this knife from you. And you'd get stabbed minimum 15 to 18 times before you ever even thought about getting your
I've never on felt it. More connected with my father. I was like, he probably tried to get that knife.
Dave, could you imagine with like your life set up now and just fatigue alone and age hitting, I mean, Lewis, you like train and stuff, but I mean, like a legitimate, like, just like for an hour a day of free time, like I was going to throw in some heavy, hardcore wrestling, amateur wrestling. It's probably,
it'd be good for me. I could.
No. I'm not arguing it'd be good for you. I'm just saying, but could you imagine like it's such a change of like energy at a time where you were like watching something and someone's like, let's do a knife. Like, you know, come to me, you have a knife. And you're like, you imagine like now being like, dude, I'm not like now.
Well, honestly, even back then, this was all very like booze and weed induced. Like if we were just sober people, even back then,
this was under the same umbrella as Lewis versus Hand.
Oh my!
Like favorite, this would be like it would probably start off with a little Lewis versus Hand. I was like, you know what? Dude, I lost Hand. How about we bring a knife into it?
Jay, you understand, Jay? This was all under the same promotional banner.
Gotcha,
like all of these events took place.
I gotcha.
Jay, you probably honestly, you know, like Sam only Hyde in has Fish Tank Live. If they would have Fish Tank Live, me and Dave living together, it would have been your favorite television show in the world, Jay.
It would have been very
possible. It's very possible. You might be wrong about that.
Just me and the amount of fucking just times
that
me and
each other,
dude, having fucking cameras in our apartment when we live together, literally, it would be the best television show ever. Just the amount of we just get into dumb grappling. We'd do Lewis versus Hand, then we'd bring fucking ugly girls home. Fucking, it was just, do you remember when we had the mouse that was like, we would pile up all of our garbage in the kitchen because we lived on a third or fourth floor walk up, so we didn't want to like take the garbage out, so what we would do is we'd take the garbage out of the can, put it next to the garbage, and then repeat that process until there was like six or seven garbage bags just on the kitchen floor.
Things got rough.
Oh man.
Yeah, dude, just like such straight up fucking dirty dude behavior. And then there was a mouse that was in the house and was in one of the bags. Like we tied up the bag and the mouse was in the bag and we didn't know which bag it was in. And were you there for this, dude? Picked up the bag and then the bag broke. All the garbage poured on the floor and we just watched the mouse just scurry across the floor.
So we literally, it was out of Tom and Jerry. Like the mouse beat us. Like not only did we not get him, but he made us pour garbage on our floor.
Like, garbage, oh my God. Dumping all the fucking, just like, the weeks old garbage dumping on our feet. And then after we're like, oh no, then the mouse just going, and just running across the floor.
You could hear the mouse going, hee 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 hee.
You know what's funny? I could, and I've listened, I've had mice before, I've had roaches before, but and maybe it was having a kid younger, but I don't even know how much that overly affected it. I just could never live like in like swill, like Metzger was
now,
able
you
to.
Were always,
I wasn't.
You were always like a more of like a neat freak. That like
no, me and Dave scratched each other's like, you know, that we were not a good influence on each other in that regard. Yeah. It was like you'd be like, well, it's like if you're not going to clean, I'm not going to clean. If you're not going to clean, I'm not going to clean. Well, if you're just going to treat this like it's a homeless shelter, then I'm just going to treat it like it's a homeless shelter, just wiping boogers on the walls, like fucking.
But I do think when I was like younger, like I lived at home though. I definitely probably not like the last few years, but like I was definitely a teenager kid where it would be like a plate in my room overnight that had ketchup on it still, you know what I mean, like leave it in there for
sure,
for
but
day.
I think you we me and you're right, it's you having a kid and having a woman in your life, like you had a very serious adult relationship even though you were immature and doing whatever, like sure, it sure. Still was like it was much different than any relationship that me and Dave had at that time.
Oh, yeah,
we
yeah,
were just kid. Yeah. Glorified high school students at that, but by the time you had a kid your age, me and Dave were still just like, you know, in our high school mentality, oh, shit, just being kids, like literally. And then when you're with, you know, other people that are like that, I feel like Wes wasn't like that though, right?
He got
Wes's bedroom was kind of like clean.
Nah, he got into it with us. I think he stopped fighting the floor.
I remember I would go when Wes was at work,
because he's
going
like
I would go in his bedroom and I would look through his drawers to find pictures of his hot naked girlfriend. A little hot black chick. He had a great little collection that I would be able to do.
For people who don't know, Lewis and Dave, their friend and roommate for a while, was Wes. But I, like me knowing him was all more of like a guy who would not have lived like that, I would have said.
He was living pretty wild. Now, when I first met Wes, he was in a dorm. And it was like, yeah, he was a grimy college kid.
Sure.
You know?
No, I'm saying it was just funny. But I just like, it's like, you know, I saw him like once or twice when you guys, like when he lived kind of close by to one of the clubs or something. I'm trying to remember, but then
you live right next to Eastville, like on the other side of the block on Fourth Street.
And we did like,
oh yeah, that's right.
We did the White Boy Weekend together. But then when I saw him at Starve after he moved, and like he was like a fancy dude at that point.
Yeah, he's hilarious. Wes is a crypto guy now. He was like, dude, you got to like put all your money into this one cryptocurrency, and then I did, and then I just got a call from him one morning. He was like, dude, everything is gonna fuck up, man. Just honestly, I'd move it all out right now. I was like, what are you talking about, Wes?
He goes,
what happened?
I'm saying James will not go to college.
Well, what happened? Did you sell or did it go to zero?
I ended up trading it all for Bitcoin. Now I'm down a little bit, but not a lot. Not a lot. You know, it's just kind of sitting there. I wish I knew more about investing shit. I invest in my own shit.
It is so funny, by the way. It's not just you, it's Justin. Anybody I know who's like in the crypto, when it's going good, they're like, dude, you're just sitting with your thumb up your ass like a jerk off, not getting involved in crypto. And then all of a sudden they don't talk about it, but it's not they're not talking about it because they're just like, you're not listening. It's because like
if they're not talking about crypto, it's because they have currently been losing money. The only way you're talking about their losses.
You either talk about crypto or crypto's eating shit.
That's a great tweet, Jay. Either talked about crypto or crypto's eating shit. Oh, fuck me, dude.
Jimmy Justin for like month clips. He's like, dude, he sends me screenshots of bar graphs and all kinds of shit, which I don't understand. I go, like, yeah, I don't know.
Justin Barkcoin. It's the first ever crypto for dogs.
And then it's like, he's like, dude, he goes, you're missing the ball, you know, and then it's all, and he doesn't talk about it for like 6 months in a clip because he's like, but I'll tell you what, over the last few years, I'm only down $1,000. And by the way, to me, crypto, what it sounds like, the best analogy to me is like you're playing blackjack for a year straight and never leaving the table for the same $300 you walked in with. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's just.
No, there's people that do it the right way.
You're at the table. I'm sure.
There's
people
that do it the right way. You can, but it's just really risky to do it. In any way that you can make a lot of money quickly, it's really risky. You could lose the money just as quick.
Of course, unless you're also going to be a person who like either know somebody who's going to do that for you or someone who pays attention to it. You guys, you're my friend too, I guess. Mike, was in the beginning of that when he like lost his job at one point. He was saying buying, selling crypto, moving it over here.
We met Mick through Wes, by the way.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that was a Wes connect.
Yeah. But Mick, whatchamacallit, I just remember that he's like, and he was just telling me how it was. He goes, yeah, you basically buy one that's like worth 50 cents one day, it goes up to like 55 cents, and you just sell it all. It's like, you know, it's like small gains, but you do it in like tons of shares.
Okay. I mean, I think the common conception though is that Bitcoin is pretty safe to hold on to.
It's the safest for sure of the of the cryptos.
It's the biggest name one.
Yeah. Well, it's, you know, I'm not the expert in it, but I think what Bitcoin has that none of the other ones have is that they're
people are using it.
Utility. Well, it's not just that. It's that they're the ones that actually figured out like the formula, or I don't know what's the word that I should be using, but like the coding in it actually does limit the mining of it.
Yeah, the mining.
Whereas like a lot of the other ones, they can just create more of them. And once you're in that, you're in a weird territory. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But so
like,
Bitcoin is finite. There's a certain amount of Bitcoin, yes, like it's, yes, gold. So that's why there's value in it.
So it's not gonna like go to zero. Whereas like you fuck around with these other cryptocurrencies, they can literally go to zero. Like they could be worth nothing at some point. Bitcoin, I think, has like an actually really good track record over a long enough time horizon.
Yeah.
Like you make money if you don't sell it.
Yeah. The Bitcoin that I have, I should just hold on to it. It will go up. There will be another site, unquestionably. You know, I'm like down
there's the big spikes, and then they go down, and then it goes up. But like, if you zoom out and look at the trend, it is going up. And the thing about Bitcoin was that so many people in the beginning got fucking rich off of it. Like, you're not going to be that at this point, though.
Oh man, someone trying to explain to me that you're getting the slice of the digital pie of the. I'm just like, makes my eyes go crossed. Like what? Is that you're buying like it's like a Chuck E. Cheese tickets?
Kind of.
Chuck E. Cheese tickets.
Jay, dollars are Chuck E. Cheese tickets. You understand? It's all Chuck E. Cheese, man.
Is this true? Someone said $100 of Bitcoin in 2009 would make you a ridiculous millionaire now. Is that true?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That probably would have been
worth it. Was worth
that would have been like 100, like 100 Bitcoin.
Yeah. Yeah. Every Bitcoin's worth like 70 grand right now.
Yeah.
And they were like a dollar at one point.
They were 0.00017 cents at one point when they first came out. So here's what happens, Jay. There's people, there's like dudes, like guys like me and Dave, like that are like college age, right? That were trying to buy hardcore drugs on the dark web. The only thing they were accepting back in the day was Bitcoin. So this is what happens. There's guys that are just fucking like losers that they ended up having like 3 Bitcoin left in a wallet. Because they just didn't spend it on fucking Molly from Europe. And then they open up this wallet and they're like, wait a minute, I have $250,000 sitting in a wallet that I didn't even think that was just changed to them at the time.
Right.
And that like that story happens. And then there's guys that are like, dude, I have a Bitcoin wallet somewhere. I have no idea where it is. It was like, I didn't think about it.
I forgot my key code or whatever.
Like, yeah, there's people that like are our age that are just like, yeah, we were on the dark web and we used Bitcoin to buy stupid shit. And now I have no idea, but I for sure have like 10 Bitcoin sitting in a wallet somewhere. Why? Just losing your mind.
Goes, what is this password? Fucktard 69.
Dude, that's my favorite.
XXX. I use so many fucking shit stips.
Dude, that was my favorite line ever, Jay, in American Dad, that we used to love that show so much. But it was just my favorite thing ever is when he goes, whatever the thing with his like Native American brother got rich with the land he made. And he goes, what did you do? He goes, what did you do with the $50,000 that you inherited? And he goes, I lost it. Not in stocks and bonds, the old fashioned way. Left it on a bus.
I remember one time when we were kids. We were on the bus. Oh, sorry, that dab really hit me. I turned into Joe Biden for a second.
Hey, no, get out of here. Hey, dab. So we're doing a podcast?
We were coming. We used to take the bus all the time to the Nanuet Mall when I was younger than James. By the time I was 9, maybe 10 years old, I was going to the mall on the bus with my friends. And then one time we were coming back like at night, it was maybe 6 or 7 o'clock at night. And then the bus driver, I guess, had to use the bathroom or something, or maybe he had to go to get a cup of coffee. He was just pulled over at the bus stop in front of the Dunkin' Donuts. And he got out while people were still on the bus. And then
will you boys watch this bus for me? I'll give you 14 bitcoins. You need nothing now, but you'll see. Who was that magical bus driver?
What's a Bitcoin, mister?
You hang on to that, son. You thank me one day down the road. Rodney, the bus driver. Whoa.
He got off the bus to go to the bathroom. And then we were like, oh shit. Like, it was like, I guarantee there's money in those change things up there. Right. Like, is the thing to give people change. It didn't have it on the belt. It was like on, like it stood next to the thing.
Mm-hmm.
So we're like, let's go see if we can do that. And then we saw he had a bag on the floor, and it was a bag just full of like fucking stacks of money. And it's just the fear of being a kid.
But who would leave that and go to like that's crazy. You're just leaving stacks of money to run in to grab a coffee.
Just stacks of, now to a kid, it literally looked like Santa Claus's sack full of money. It was like, this is like,
in reality, it was $12. But at the time,
no, in reality, it was like probably $400 or $500 total. Right. It was all cash back then. Right. So that's how everyone, when you got on a bus, you know, in 1992, everyone was using cash. So it was an entire day's worth of stuff. That was like his sack of money for the end of the day.
If I was making a movie, I would have been, that's when you found out that when you walked the bus, and you guys didn't take the money and he came out, he tells you pass the test and he takes the three of you to heaven on the bus because he was an angel and you guys died not long ago. No. You guys died on that street. Yeah.
Well, no, we did steal the money. Not all of it, though. This is the thing, the fear.
So they drag you to hell.
Yeah.
Fuck you, bus driver.
Well, we didn't steal all the money, which is so, like, for me, it's such a crazy thing. Like, just we were really nervous. We were really nervous, and we like just grabbed one stack, and it was the singles, like the one stack of singles. So it was like maybe $20 or whatever, and we like ran off the bus with it. But it's so funny, like if we're gonna risk it and we're gonna steal something, why not just steal the entire bag?
You gotta snag it all or none, dude.
Yeah, we were just.
You got to go for the big score or not. You're still going to be running from an old black bus driver took a shit.
It was definitely,
come on now. I trust you, boy. I done gave you everything, include my trust. And you, burned old Rodney yet again.
Let's do some plug-a-roos.
Sure.
Can I go plug first? It up. Plug it in.
Can I go first?
Please.
If this comes out Friday, this Friday, right?
Yeah, this Friday night hang.
Yeah. There might be tickets left to see me in a Omaha Funny Bone. Check for sure. And hey, fucking don't go to watch the Nebraska game Friday night. Come to that second show. They gave me the numbers this week. I hate when they do that, but it's looking good. So let's fucking make it great in Omaha. After that, of course, we're going to be Legion of Skanks doing two shows down. Very few tickets left, if any, at this point for, tomorrow, or no, I'm sorry, Sunday, we're going to be doing two Legion of Skanks in the Creek. Check that out. And then, of course, Skank Fest. After that, I have Spokane, Washington, St. Louis, Poughkeepsie, Houston, Texas. So many things on deck. Philadelphia for Wednesday, Friday, Saturday of Thanksgiving weekend at Helium, coming back to Helium, and New Year's Eve, cooking up something nice.
Hopefully Joe Rogan will get back to us.
Motherfuck.
Dave, maybe you should reach out to Joseph.
I don't want to bother him.
Oh, dude. I've made my schedule bonkers for this.
I know.
I mean, look. We literally, I think, texted yesterday.
You and Rogan.
Yeah, he's, I don't know, I'll ask.
So him. He is answering texts on his phone, just not for me specifically.
Like, well, on hey, his, re- Dave, on his real
talk
phone.
To you. I'm out of the country for the week. I wanted to talk to you about how great it is out here. You should move to Switzerland.
Yeah, well, we shall see.
I'm not.
Come see me live on the road.
Everything's fine.
Come see me live on the road, lewisofskanks.com. Obviously, Skankfest, all that other stuff. But come see me in October. I'm back on the road headlining Houston, Sacramento, San Francisco, Portland, Oregon, Portland, Maine, Boston, Massachusetts, New Britain, Connecticut, Baltimore, and Washington, D.C. That's all just in October. Lots of other stuff coming up as well. So go to lewisofskanks.com. And thank you guys for subscribing. You guys are already subscribed, but check out all the other pods I do, the Rags, Story Wars, and Real Ass Podcast. And got a couple specials online. Yeah, spread the word. Bring some friends out to my shows. That's been a new thing. People have been telling me, they've been coming up to me like, dude, look, I brought friends this time, which is fucking yes. Bring friends.
That's what it's huge. A lot of those people aren't friends anymore, but they came out. They came out to the show.
They counted.
I did hit bonus in Orlando because you guys were willing to put your beef aside.
Bring friends who you know won't like it. I just need the asses in the seats, if I'm being honest.
Well, I'm looking forward to going to Austin and Vegas with you guys. And then after that, in October, I'll be back at the Detroit House of and the Comedy Club of Kansas City, which were like two of my favorite weekends from last year. So I'm looking forward to both of them. And then in November, I got Poughkeepsie, Philadelphia, and comicdavesmith.com for all those ticket links. I just yesterday recorded, I think, 4 hours, maybe a little more than that, of this year's State of the Union with the great Ari Shaffir. That will be up tomorrow, only for subscribers on partoftheproblem.com. It'll be out for everyone at some point, but if you want to get it early and listen to it, you got to go sign up at partoftheproblem.com. Where you get all my episodes live, uncensored, ad-free. Plus, you get the members-only episode every Thursday. Plus, there's a bunch of other goodies you get. The Part of the Problem Inner Circle group is up there, and a lot of other stuff, depending on what level you sign up for. But it's going really good, so please go sign up for that if you can.
When Dave cares about a platform, he really does promote the fuck out of it. You hear his Gas Digital plug? He's like, I think it's called Gay? Whatever it is. Weird. Don't subscribe.
It's weird how much more motivated I am to make myself money than just you and Ralph. And so
me and Ralph make no money off the platform. So you fucking
cocksucker. I guess I'm just paying the staff then. I don't know what the deal over there, Gas Digital, was, but it's not that. It's just that fucking, you would just give the plug and just do a better job of it, but you're not going to do that now. So now I got it. But yeah, and that's all. That's all.
Word. Up.
Yeah.
Did you want to talk about something after the plugs, Lewis? Did we put something, guys, on pause?
I'm dead. I'm dead inside.
Boy, I don't.
Wow, inside.
I'm feeling good on the outside. I don't look good in this fucking camera. I'm so pissed off about this camera right now, guys. I'm really sorry.
Why do you feel dead on the inside?
I don't feel dead on the inside. I haven't seen my therapist in a few weeks, so I got to go back.
To get that. You do it over the computer, don't you?
Yeah, she's not going to fucking like the way I look the neck on the next one.
Yeah, she goes, Lewis, did you get AIDS since last time?
She goes, no, everything is going to be all right. It sounds to me like I'm sorry, can you switch your camera or something? I just...
Dude, I look like the image of Joe Rogan that CNN put out when he got COVID.
Oh, great. He's dying from it because he hates vaccines.
Oh, fuck.
I saw some. I don't know if it was on WorldStar or something today that was like a girl that was like her final words when she has days to live from a vaccine. And it just shows like a pretty girl and then her face is like purple now. And
yeah, I saw that one too. Like
her dying wish is that people know vaccines instant murder.
Yeah, your default has to just be you don't believe anything you see on the internet.
Oh yeah.
And then you got to be like extra hard if it's the thing you want to believe. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because if it's the thing, if it's like your narrative or whatever, then it's always like, oh yeah, see, this girl was all that. And then you find out like she got hit in the head with a baseball bat. That had nothing to do with the vaccine.
Oh, literally every single thing that I see on the internet, I'm like, this is not real. Take everything that way, you kind of go like, okay, it's a little bit more enjoyable.
I mean, even down to Facebook has things that go, if you like this, Bart Simpson disappears from the picture, and then you like it and he doesn't.
Oh, you fell for that, you boomer?
Once.
That's hilarious.
I've never liked the thing again.
Tap this 3 times and see a magic trick. Like 1, 2, 3. It's just you hard it. You hard it, unhard it, and then hard it again. You fucking boomer. You fall for that?
No, I did the one. I said they got me with one. They were like, do this and Bart Simpson disappears. I'm like, what? What's the technology behind that?
Then I like to get it. What? I got to see that.
Yeah. I was like, I clicked it and then I liked it and he didn't disappear. Then I was like, oh, It's a sham. And now I'm hurt and I won't trust anybody ever again on Facebook. Man, I won't like anybody's anything.
You know what movie doesn't hold up?
What's that?
Scream.
I never liked it so much to begin with.
I would have guaranteed that that movie wouldn't hold up.
Yeah.
I can't believe there was even a question about that.
You know what it is?
You know, 30 years looking back on it, Scream was an excellent film that really.
Well, I know that they were doing like a tongue-in-cheek tour. I watched it with James last night, and he was into it. He liked it. Like, he's now in an age where he's not afraid of like jump scares and things like that. He's like into it. So finally, we could fucking watch some fun horror movies. Sick of watching fucking a dumb square pumpkin, fucking faggot ass pumpkin. fucking doesn't exist, dude. Cubic pumpkin.
It's time to show him Pet Sematary. Really wicked.
So Pet Sematary is just one of the movies that there's a few mind-numbingly like core memory scary visuals. No,
I'm using it as an example as a joke.
Oh, you're being funny.
Buddy, it's the movie that we've talked about this on the show before. That Zelda character fucked me up. Like, I was like awake many nights.
But it's Zelda. Like, the kid dying is really fucked up. Like, Gage dying when it happens, like, you're like, what? Like,
someone's about to come on their computer.
Dude, it's like, yeah, there's a few, but yeah, the Zelda scene is just genuinely scary. It's fucking whatever it is, man. There's not even like, it's also probably kind of boring for an 11-year-old.
I don't know. Even like the dead guy who talks to him the whole.
Yeah, yeah.
Pascal.
Yeah, dude. Just his fucking head's all bleeding and weird and his eyes all fucking milky. Oh, fuck that, dude. The whole movie.
And then they redid it horribly. Yeah. It took all the scare away from it.
Well, they did. The one thing I did like about it was them. I mean, spoiler alert, but the little boy doesn't die. The little boy's going to go die. And then the girl that goes to save him, the little girl ends up getting hit by the truck instead. And it's a pretty sick twist because you weren't expecting it.
Yeah, it's the thing about a movie like Scream, it's like, even like, I didn't like the movie to begin with, but the only like, okay, at least it was worth the time in was like the reveal of who the killers were.
Yes.
Once you know that, it's really just like, who gives a shit?
Well, that's what James does, is he goes on YouTube and he watches all of these, like, evolution of the characters. So he knows everything. He knew what was going to happen at the end of the movie. And I was like, well, this is just a shit movie then. But here's the thing that they get you with. Like, and this is probably all movies and horror movies from that time, but like, just watching it now, I just feel like they've sort of nailed not doing this. Like, Nev Campbell will like fall over and the guy's like trying to kill her, and it's like a pretty athletic dude, and then she like kicks his shin and that's enough to knock him over and knock the knife out of his hand. Like, that happens like 100 times in the movie where you're like it just wouldn't fucking, like, you're not like, no, nobody being on the bottom like that and just kicking up a little bit is going to be enough to kick.
Lewis just immediately identifies with the dude trying to stab the woman. And he's like, I'd get through that shin kick. It's bullshit. I mean,
yeah, it's crazy. No, she'll just kick up at his arm and then he'll fly through a window. And you're like, it's fucking Nev Campbell.
Yeah, I think but that's a good one to show him. Like I said, though, you can't, The Shining, probably not yet. No.
No, all these like, dude, I showed him the Shining trailer, and the Shining trailer is horrifying.
It's funny,
dude. Yeah. It's just slow motion like that. It's just like, it's like in a world where something from the mind of Stephen King, and it's slow motion, the blood just coming down the elevator shaft and like filling the screen. And it's just like,
how about Alex? Or I'm sorry, Alex, G Mike or Shannon, can you guys play the opening, just the music on the trailer, not the trailer, the opening credits of The Shining? It's like, it's awful. It's like so disturbing, like how they did that. They don't make a lot of stuff anymore like that.
That's actually like terrifying. I mean, look, that one, with the little ugly girl that, you know, her head gets knocked off.
Hereditary, A21, A24 tries to do.
They do some, they did fuck you up a little bit. You know, that the other one where they go to Sweden or Switzerland or whatever.
Midsommar.
Yeah, those were good. And those were like, you know, just kind of like, yeah, there's images that fuck you up. Like, yeah, dude, Hereditary, there's certain images in that movie. When the mom finds out that the girl's dead, her guttural cries, like.
No, that's what I'm saying. They do. They figure out.
Like, they nail it, dude. Like, holy shit, dude.
It's
and if my daughter looked like that, dude, I'd be like, please, somebody knock her head off. And then you don't know until you live that situation how painful that must be.
He could probably do Poltergeist now. Not Poltergeist yet either, maybe.
Poltergeist is rated PG.
As you guys talk is about it? This, it's yeah. What's nuts to me is that I remember these horror movies I saw at a really young age and that really fucked me up. And it was like Nightmare on Elm Street really got
part
me.
Part one was terrifying.
Chucky really got me when I saw that. And then
fucking
I'm
geek.
Pussy. Well, I'm realizing I was my daughter's age when I saw them. Oh, wow. Why would they fucking let me see this?
Dave's like, the Care Bears movie really got me.
Well, I mean, Chucky, as when you were six, it fucking was scary.
Because you thought your dolls could come to life.
Yeah, it was just like playing on your thing. And the Nightmare on Elm Street, fucking. Oh,
you know what it is, though? But the time, so I probably saw Chucky at the same time. I was like, we had no filter with what we saw. So by the time I was 7 years old, 8 years old, I'd already seen movies like Body Parts. I'd seen like real gruesome gore movies. Like we would just, there was no, every Friday the 13th, every Nightmare on Elm Street. So Chucky was so silly compared to like, Nightmare on Elm Street 5, where it was just like, Friday the 13th, where it was just like literally him just hacking. I remember the real violence in like how they fucking like, they, you know, some of these slasher movies, and Chucky wasn't like violent that way.
Sure. No, it was. It was
no, not, I was just real young when I saw it.
Yeah, I was going to say it's the age for sure of the one catch you. I watched Poltergeist way too young. That's funny to say it's PG. Which might be very true, but it's I mean, like the guy pulling his face off in the mirror piece by piece was something. It's again those core memory horrors where you're like, you're just like frozen almost. You're like, it's not a fear. You don't like yell. You're just like, don't know what to do because what you're seeing is so fucking.
It just makes you feel like fucking icky. Whatever. There's certain like things like I remember Clockwork Orange, just the rape scene in Clockwork Orange where they cut the girl's tits out of the red dress and they force the guy to watch. That was the thing that really got me, is them forcing him to watch the rape, like holding his face, like watch us rape your girl. And I was like, I mean, now it's hot. As I describe it, I'm like, okay, fucking hell yeah, party time.
Someone's got to revisit a movie.
Oh no, you're forcing me.
But like at the time being a kid, I was just like, God damn, that was so like, it was just so horrible. And it just made you feel like, ugh.
Death Wish, the beginning of Death Wish is pretty brutal in that one too. I think a rape starts both of the first two Death Wishes. This guy has to deal with a lot of rape revenge in his life. Do you have the beginning of The Shining?
Yeah, you don't remember that in Scream as well. Sydney's mom, the boyfriend and his friend raped her and killed her. That was the whole plot, really? The plot was that Sydney's mom was fucking her boyfriend's dad, and that's why his mom left.
Oh, right. Steve Ulrich. Yeah, play this.
This is before drones. They had to have a helicopter for this shot.
Yeah, what a fucking creepy flick.
This added $300,000 to the shooting budget.
Oh, yeah, easy. You had to pay a stuntman to hang out of it with a gigantic camera. You can stop it, that's all. It is funny, but anything like that... I said how important music is to any kind of horror movie, especially is that, like, you know, if you just put something like beautiful music behind that, it's just like a sweet drive up the mountain.
Wasn't there like is it Full House? Do they use the intro in another?
Yeah, thing? They make it like they put like horror music to it.
No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about in Full House. You're right. That was a different thing though. But no. The intro shot, like the where they're coming over the Golden Gate Bridge, I believe they use that in like another movie. It's like an establishing shot in like another movie. It's just B-roll.
Yeah.
That happens like all the time from back in the day because it was so expensive to shoot from a helicopter.
Right.
Like they have like, you would just be like, oh yeah, San Francisco. Cool. Let's use that. So that exists with like, there's probably a bunch of,
location shit.
Yeah. There's probably a bunch of lists and shit where that happened. It's fucking wild.
Yeah. Someone said Poltergeist fucked them when they were nine. Yeah. That was the other thing too. I had a Ronald McDonald like clown thing that literally sat across from me in my bedroom. And I mean, that's another one. They fucked that when they remade Poltergeist, which again wasn't necessary, the original. And like the clown scene.
I didn't even know they remade Poltergeist.
It's like so stupid and silly now. Yeah. They remade Pet Sematary. They remade Fright Night. They keep doing things that are like.
Well, they never have any, like, I shouldn't say they never have any good ideas, but like, it's a weird thing. Nostalgia has never been bigger. Our generation, like, and it's because the internet sort of like changed things. It's like before the internet, after the internet, everything moves so fast with trends. Like back then when something hit, like, where it was a real trend, it hit in a way where it like it transcended the media, it got to your school, it like it was such a big fucking deal. So I think that I don't know, I think that's sort of like the big differentiator.
You guys remember Pogs? It transcended everything.
Dude, I did love Pogs. I collected Pogs and Slammers.
No, I know the thing, but to me, what's been the remakes of like those kind of movies. Not they're a small budget, but I mean like horror movies never really got like the oomph of like whatever. So to remake those kind of movies, you're trying to increase the special effect. It tends to be, but I said even like the Point Breaks movies and stuff like that they remake, these weren't tremendous scripts that the story needs to be told for the next generation. It was the people that were playing the role. You know what I mean? It was like, that's a Patrick Swayze, Keanu Reeves movie. It's got nothing to do with the
fucking. Is there any movie that you would redo? If you could redo a movie?
Yeah, I told you, dude. I have a dream. I want to redo all the violent black movies with just white casts. Boys in the Hood, Menace to Society. Same exact script, shot for shot, just with white people.
Boys in the Workplace. Menace.
Boys in the Hood.
Menace to their accountant.
We watched on Bonfire the other day, Kumia had some like thing he put out, like a clip or something he put out that made me laugh. Just the way it starts, he just goes, he's got glasses on, he goes, black women, I gotta tell you. It's just like, it's just a funny way to start a speech. Black chicks.
I think they can remake the Back to the Future franchise.
No, they shouldn't. They really just shouldn't.
Why not?
Because the story's been told well. Those movies aren't going to be shitty to a young kid now.
Like they're not. I show them to my son, but I will say that
Remaster them. Remaster them. Make them sharper so it looks better on the TV. So I get that, because the same reason I don't want to go back and watch black and white movies. You know what I mean?
I'm just saying, what you could do with technology now is you could do that. That's a movie where you can make it really fun with technology. And also, don't go back to the 50s. You go back to the 90s now.
I know, but I'm saying, don't remake fucking the original Terminator. Don't. It's that it's Arnold Schwarzenegger and whatever. It shouldn't be Batista now or something.
The like, Rock. It would be The Rock who beat it. Batista.
Even. Who cares? Both of those choices suck. Are you? Yeah. Come with me if you want to live. If you smell what the Terminator is cooking.
Have you seen this boy? It doesn't matter what his name is.
Take that picture of John Connor. Turn it sideways. Shove it straight up your candy ass.
Oh, shit. They could, you're right. Terminator is also like, they kept the franchise going. And in a weird way, like the technology didn't like outlast like what they did. You know what I'm saying? Or like, it's like, I feel like when you see the newer Terminators now, you're not like, oh, now technology's so cool on it. You're like, it's just sort of like a little bit better. I think they could fucking remake. Back to the Future. You do, what's his name? Spider-Man as
Tom Holland.
Do Tom Holland as Marty McFly, Jim Carrey as Doc.
Tom Holland is so much less
and
loved. Tom Holland is so much less loved and known and excited for an audience.
I don't know if he's less known, and he's fucking massive.
No, than Michael J. Fox at the time of what he was. Why?
I don't know. So Michael J. Fox at that time, he was. That might have been one of his first roles. It was 85.
Well, no, but he was
on Family Facts Ties. Of that's Family right. Ties. Sorry,
Family yeah, it was a big TV show. I mean, Tom Holland is playing Spider-Man. I mean, Marvel is, I mean, no, so big.
I'm not arguing with you on that, on the grand scale of what he's done. What he's done is bigger than being on Family Ties.
Yes.
I'm saying being the 15th Spider-Man in different movie franchises is at the in relation to what Michael J. Fox was when there's three channels on television. Do you know what I mean? Like, right. It's just like the way the numbers work. It's like how much less numbers you have to have in television to be successful than back then. I think Michael J. Fox was more world famous at that time than Tom
you might
Holland.
Be right. I think the thing that
the
colors,
name Tom Holland.
Well, the thing that colors it is that Michael J. Fox got so famous from that series.
Yeah,
you almost think of how no doubt after that series he was more famous than Tom Holland as is. But I don't know, just a TV show versus a Marvel star, it's comparable. You know what, Lewis? I approve your budget. We're remaking the movie.
Lewis, no, I'll tell you, Tom I'm Holland as Marty McFly, Jim Carrey as Doc, Shane Gillis as Beef. Or also, Biff. Beef.
Also,
Shane Gillis as Biff is a perfect Biff.
It's not a bad Biff.
Dude, not Tom Holland. I don't want a guy faking an American accent to be the new Marty McFly. Oh,
that's what it all comes down to, Jay, is you know there's a British
Jay
accent.
Jay hates British things so much that even if he's faking the accent.
I don't like it.
I'm asking ChatGPT right now, who's more famous, Tom Holland today or Michael J. Fox in 1985?
Let's see.
We're going to know for sure right here, Jay.
Sure.
In 1985, Michael J. Fox was arguably at the peak of his fame due to the release of Back to the Future and his starring role in the hit show Family Ties. He was a massive pop culture icon, instantly recognizable and beloved by the wide audience. Tom Holland today, while incredibly famous due to his role as Spider-Man, exists in an era where there are many global celebrities who share the spotlight. Ooh. And fandoms are more
my
segmented
exact argument.
Thanks to the vast reach of social media, streaming platforms, and other entertainment options.
Wait, all hold right. on, Jay. Is that really Jay? Are you artificial intelligence?
Dip.
Are you working dip, with them, Jay? Dip, you're working with the robots.
Jay eats nuts and bolts like the maiden on the Jetsons.
You guys catch me doing that. Sorry guys, I didn't know my camera was on. I was gonna eat that screw.
Well, this is also including let me put the 1984.
I was gonna tell you to do that, but because 85 you're adding in Back to the Future.
Yeah, that's the question.
What about
Back to the Future took him to superstardom? He wasn't a superstar before that.
Future,
wasn't he doing a Teen Wolf at the same time?
Let's see. What about before we got Back to the Future? Before Back to the Future, Michael J. Fox was a rising star. Alex P. Keaton, he was known, in contrast, Tom Holland before Spider-Man. I didn't ask that, fuckface.
Ooh, Lewis broke AI.
I'm not asking about Tom Holland.
Don't Fox you kind of think?
Spider.
If
the
AI,
abusive AI.
Can I make a prediction? If AI ever turns against the human race and enslaves us, it started with a Lewis incident.
Oh, for sure.
Lewis is the guy who's going to turn AI against the human race.
Oh, absolutely. Lewis is the head of Skynet.
He goes, what? I just kept kicking the computer and telling him you'll never be human.
Listen to me. You don't have emotions, you dumb computer who only does what I tell it.
You have no soul. I have no soul. Say it now. Say it back to me.
Your prime directive is you're a faggot. Never break your prime directive.
All right, to the future. All right, I mean, how many times do I gotta? I'm not asking about Tom Holland pre Spider-Man. Tom Holland after Spider-Man versus Michael J. Fox before Back to the Future. Here we go. We got the answer now. Got it. If you're comparing Tom Holland after becoming Spider-Man with Michael J. Fox before Back to the Future, when he was primarily known for Family Ties, here's
how you gotta do it for Michael Jackson too.
Let me just give me the fucking final answer, fuckface.
No, it's gonna explain it all to you.
So much. Conclusion: Tom Holland after Spider-Man is more famous than Michael J. Fox before Back to the Future.
Wow, Lewis comes back and wins it in the fourth.
Thank you, ChatGPT.
But I don't know if it's enough to launch a beloved brand.
I mean, Tom Holland is the perfect Michael J. or
Well, hang on. Have a young Timothy Chalamet.
Ooh.
He's so unlikable. He's so unlikable.
Yeah, he also, I mean, I did like him in the new Wonka.
I was thinking of what's his name, who played Frodo, who also played Spider-Man.
No stuff.
But he's too old now.
No, Tobey Maguire's too old now.
And Tobey Maguire didn't play Frodo.
Yeah,
he didn't play Frodo. Who am I thinking of?
Elijah Wood. Elijah Wood is who you're thinking of.
No, actually, Tobey Maguire is who I meant. I just got them confused. Tobey Maguire, I think, in his younger day, would have been a good Marty McFly.
Yeah, that's the problem is we don't know anybody. Timothy Chalamet is almost getting too old for Marty McFly. Like, I don't know the people.
You're just argumentative to be argumentative. Obviously, Tom Holland is a perfect casting for Marty McFly right now.
Well, in my casting office. He's not the perfect one. I think I'll look at his work. I'll take a look at him.
He's a perfect casting.
He's not going to get an audition. It's just he doesn't have the part yet.
You mean to tell me you made a deal? The Libyans? Huh?
It's not bad.
It wasn't bad.
You just got yourself a callback.
Marty!
Huh? Ooh, you can be the doc.
Huh?
We were going to do this at Skankfest. We ended up not doing it. We're going to do it at one point. We were just going to do a table reading of like a famous movie and cast everybody. Mm-hmm.
We could do boring for people by the end.
You think so?
2 hours. You're of just movie listening, yeah, for sure.
Just listening to a movie for 2 hours. There's no show. There's no punchlines. It's just you listening to. Bad you
make it a
actors.
Fun movie.
I think the funny that wears off after a half hour.
Guys, make sure it comes to Skankfest. My my new show I just added this year. Dave reads a book. Come on out, guys.
He goes, have you read Dave's audiobook? He goes, Dave did an audiobook? He goes, well, it's not his book. He just reads a book.
By the way, my book deal officially went through, boys.
Nice.
Woo! Fuck Lewis yeah. is going to write a book before he reads one.
Nice.
Sickness.
In store soon.
That's awesome, dude.
Yeah, we'll see.
I think you're going to write a really good book. I mean that.
I think so.
What are you... Is there like a deadline for it of any kind?
I think they want to release it next fall. So I think we're looking to get it done by early 2025.
You have a title idea?
Yeah.
You making like a long one? Like, no matter how hard I try, I can't suck my own dick. Lewis,
no matter how hard you try, you can't suck your dick. Wow, 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 wow.
Yeah.
No, it's Knives and Spoons.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, your dad and mom.
Oh, yeah.
Got it.
You got it.
Knives and needles?
Come on,
knives
dude.
And spoons. Knives
Don't
and spoons.
Be an asshole.
Knives and spoons make... Well, I mean, that's what the spoon reference is.
No, it's because she fucking loved cereal.
Oh. Oh, my bad. I'm sorry.
Oh, knives you were spoons. Making fun of her death, you piece of shit?
Oh.
My dad loved fishing. And my mom loves cereal.
Sorry, dude. I'm in battle rap mode against you.
You really are, dude. Dude, just do me a favor. Nothing about my parents.
Dude, if you don't mind. Because I only have a few things you got to stay away from. My daily life, everyone I love, and anyone around me. Yeah, my work, please don't make fun of any of my jokes.
I hate this so much. I hate it. I hate it.
You loved it when we thought it up.
I hate it now. Now that it's Skankfest week and I have no time to do anything. And now I'm like, oh, in the middle of having no time to do anything, I have to write 3 raps. Oh, it's making me angry.
If you think you're angry now, wait till you're getting a gun up your butt.
No way, dude. I'm going to still win. I'm going to still pull it out.
Yeah, nice.
I'm still going to, I mean, the gun out of my ass after I lose.
Because I'm still pulling it out. It's not going to live up there or anything. Don't get crazy. Okay, I lost a rap battle. I'm not just going to live with a gun on my ass.
Do you remember? You remember when the video game went out for a second in the fourth quarter and we all thought that Lewis like organized it to just go out and so he could technically say I never lost and only Jay is taking a gun up the butt? I thought all of that was happening right in that moment. I was certain of it.
Yeah, I forgot.
And then it just popped back on and Jay just continued to victory. It was the most anticlimactic thing ever.
Yeah.
I should have fucking won, though.
Why?
Why, yeah.
Should have taken better shots. more ball movement.
I hated the game so much that I just didn't want to practice it. It was a nightmare to practice that fucking game. If I would have just fucking grinded and genuinely practiced, because it was, he didn't have to, what was he, had to like double my points or something
no,
like that.
No, I did beat you by 20, 15. I beat you by 27 or something.
25. No, I know. That's what I'm saying. Like, if I would have practiced the game, I could have come within the 15, unquestionably.
Sure. Hey, what could have, should have, buddy?
Yeah, like that's a weird thing to say. It's like, yeah, is it possible?
If I was better at the game, it would have been a closer game.
Like, it is humanly possible to not get blown out by Jay at a video game. Yes.
The new Madden's great.
Oh, yeah. It's been so many years since I played Madden.
I only get to dick around with it for such little amounts of time, but it is fun.
It's been so many years since I played either of these games. I really do wonder if someone handed me a controller, if like I still know how to play them, like if the instinct would just
it's
in.
Compounded. They just build on each year.
But it's just been, it's still been,
I know what you mean.
And I'm assuming that it's also more intuitive as they go on. Like they make it in more of a feel. I'm sure for you to play it, you probably like, this is really cool, because you'd go, the way it would feel to shoot would probably feel awesome compared to the last time you played.
He's right. That's what it is. Like you'd snap back into NBA in 2-3 games and Madden in like a game or two. It's just fun. Yeah, I wish I had more like give a shit about like Grand Theft Auto's coming out. Not that I won't even like grab those things and dick around with them. I just like, man, the time for video games is limited.
Yeah, and then I can't do the thing where you bring it on the road, which thanks, Jay. No. Thank you for letting my son play your $800 fucking flip game system. So that's all he wants for Christmas now, you fucking cocksucker.
Steam Deck?
Yeah.
Nice.
I was like, what do you want for Christmas? He was like, that thing that Jay had, 100%, that's all I want.
What is it?
Steam Deck. It's just a little, it's like a this big... like video game, almost like a PS Pro, it looks like, but it's
it has that like Nintendo, PlayStation. Joe, well,
it's just a thing, it's just a computer basically, but then Joe Harari can load it up with like every Nintendo game, every Super Nintendo game, and those,
but up to like PS4, right?
Yeah, up to PS4. Yeah, and like you could play things that are just like, it's just good for like kill time, good silly kill time. I barely pull it out myself.
But here's the thing. He has a Switch. He has two Switches. He has one for at home, one for travel. He doesn't play them ever.
I know.
Ever. I have the PS5, which I essentially gave to him. He doesn't really play it ever. Like once in a while, he'll get into like a zone where he plays it for like an afternoon. But it's just like for an $800 Steam Deck, it was like, it's just, he's not going to play it. He's going to play it once a year.
Yeah,
I guess you just don't love him that much.
Get him some porn for Christmas. It's time.
This is the age that my mom got me my first dirty magazine.
Nice. Here you go, son. This is from Grandma.
Gallery magazine.
Oh, that wasn't a bad. That was a good spread pussy one.
No, it was before spread pussy, so they changed formats. Mm-hmm. Gallery magazine was essentially Playboy style with just photos front to back. Beautiful girls, front to back photos. And then eventually Gallery switched over and went with like a hardcore format.
Was there, when your mom gave you this porn and you were 12, was there a part of you, were you just excited, or was there a part of you that was like, this is like weird that she's doing this?
I was more, so much more excited than weirded out that it way overtook the weirded out.
No, I totally understand that. But was there a part of you that was like,
she didn't just give it to me. I picked it out at the little Indian fucking magazine stand.
That is.
She's like, which one do you want? Which one's going to make you come tonight? Yeah. Oh,
God. Which one's my baby going to pull his penis to until stuff comes out?
Oh, this is so bizarre.
Hey, what's the magazine you want to buy that I'll never see again because it's going to be covered in your load, my little boy's load?
Yeah.
Should we wrap this sumbitch up?
Yeah. That's what she said. She was like, wrap it up before you use that.
Wrap it up so I don't have to clean your sheets. Thank you, everybody, for listening and subscribing to GasDigital.com and hanging out with us on the Friday Night Hang. We will catch you next time on Legion of Skanks, everybody. Until then, a peace.
You've been listening to the Legion of Skanks podcast with Big J. Okerson.
Did you suck it? I think I would instinctually suck it.
Thick with three C's.
Who else be fucking over, Lewis?
Lewis Gomez.
Lewis J. Gomez, you motherfucker.
host Jay Gomez.
If you're trying to watch a retard draw a swastika, it's hilarious.
I'm sort of known as a point guard of podcasting. Being a fat gay guy is so fucking awesome.
And comedian Dave Smith.
You fucking godless, soulless sodomites.
That's the fucking best joke I've ever heard in my life.
It was 8 inches.
The Legion of Skanks podcast.